Are you planning to visit a national park this summer? They're popular destinations because many folks are itching to get outdoors after more than a year of being cooped up amid the pandemic. But if you enter with unrealistic expectations, you could wind up disappointed. So to help visitors get the most out of their experience, we're bringing in artist and national park enthusiast Amber Scher. She knows all about the risk of disappointment because she collects one-star reviews of national parks on Yelp and other websites and shares them on Instagram. She's paired some of the crankiest with her own beautiful illustrations of the parks and compiled them in a new book called Subpar Parks, America's Most Extraordinary National Parks and Their Least Impressed Visitors. Amber, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
The complaints that folks have about national parks, if they show up and turn out to be disappointed, kind of fall into like several common buckets, which you outline at the start of your book. Could you run through a few of those for us? What is it that people are griping about when they go to these majestic venues?
Yeah, so the reviews that I focus on all kind of have to do with the scenery and the experience in nature. So within that, you'll find a lot of people who complain about the exact feature the park is known for, which I kind of call that's a feature, not a bug. Those kind of reviews are people upset that Joshua Tree is a desert, or that they saw only one humpback whale at Kenai Fjords, which many people who visited have told me they'd be over the moon to have even gotten to see.
I like the complaint about the tall grass at Tall Grass Prairie in Kansas. What did you think?
Yes, exactly. I'm not sure what else you were expecting, but that is what it's intended to be. And then somewhat related to that, which is another one of my favorite kind of categories that emerged, is people who say something that is technically true, but is also kind of the most reductive way you could ever sum up that park. So, for example, calling the Grand Canyon just a very large hole would fall into that category. That, to me, takes a special level of unimpressed to just see something so grand and so huge and just reduce it to the absolute minimal description you could find.
Must have been a real head-scratcher for you because you write that the Grand Canyon was really the birth of your fascination with national parks back when you were just 10 years old. You've been collecting these complaints about parks for a while, and this is actually not entirely new phenomenon. These bad national park reviews have sort of captured the fascination of folks for several years, but your Instagram account collecting them has really taken off. Why do you think that is?
I think it's pretty hard to separate the project from the pandemic at this point, just because I started it just a few months before that all began. And so I think a lot of us were kind of trapped in our houses, unable to have the trips that we were dreaming of having. And so being able to kind of laugh at the people who hated exactly what you wish you were getting to do right now was a little bit of a salve for that sadness. But also, I think just all of us have that curmudgeon in us that wants to complain about things. So it gives you a kind of way to even laugh at yourself a little bit. Because I've even noticed since I started the project times where I just really want to complain about something. And then I just laugh at myself for how ridiculous it is.
Well, let's talk then about how we can get over that maybe impulse to complain and really get the most out of the experience, particularly because there may be folks who wouldn't normally go to a national park, but that's what they're doing this summer because maybe they're not ready to hop on a plane and go to some far-flung place yet. And I'm thinking of actually that very first trip to the Grand Canyon that you write about where you and your family spent several days there. And that seems to me an important detail. It's sort of like I'm a sports fan, so if I went to a baseball game to see my favorite slugger hit a home run. Well, even the best baseball players don't hit a home run every game. They might go a few games without hitting a home run. And so if I go in with unrealistic expectations, I'm going to be disappointed. Is that one of the keys? Maybe I would have to go to several baseball games to see what I want. Maybe somebody should spend more than a few hours at a national park.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the bigger issues at play here. I actually spoke with a ranger. She answered some questions for me who had worked at Everglades. And she spoke so beautifully about this park and said that it's a park that kind of whispers at you. It doesn't yell the way that some of the grander parks, you know, are more obvious about why they're a park. And so it's a place that you really need to be willing to sit and spend some time and really let it seep in. And I think that's true for a lot of parks. I think people might think they're going to just drive into Yellowstone and immediately check off seeing a grizzly in the distance and some bison and all of the sort of iconic things that people have come to know Yellowstone for. But really, to experience those kinds of things and to really understand what a place like Yellowstone is requires more than just a few hours driving through it.
And if you do happen upon a grizzly, by the way, you may not be able to post it on social media right away because, hey, you know, the cell signal or the Wi-Fi service may not be so great. That's another thing that you're cautioning people against, is thinking that you're going to be instantly connected. And there's actually value in unplugging when you go. Do you have a new favorite, Amber, after this project, or does it all come back to the original Grand Canyon for you?
The Grand Canyon will definitely still always have a place in my heart, but after this project, I think I'm converted on going to Alaska, which I always thought was not for me because I'm not at all a cold weather person. But now that I've done this project, I absolutely have to go.
That's artist and illustrator Amber Scheer. She is a national park enthusiast, and her new book is called Subpar Parks, America's Most Extraordinary National Parks and Their Least Impressed Visitors. Amber, thank you.
Thank you so much.